We begin the new Mesecht, Mesechtes Makis. We begin the Daf Beis, where the Mesecht opens up with the first parak, Parak Ketzer Eidim. Now this Mesecht is a continuation from the previous Mesecht, Mesechtes Sanhedrin. Actually, as the Gemara will point that out, uniquely to our Mishnah, which Mesechtes Sanhedrin spoke about the judgments of someone who violates a law, which we spoke about in the conclusion, the final parak, we're talking about the four types of death penalties. Our Mesecht talks about the other types of penalties, specifically that of lashes and that of exile, when someone kills by mistake, and actually our Mishnah talks about both those elements. Our Mishnah opens up, Ketzad or Edim Nasim Zayman. How do witnesses become Zayman, which is a halacha that Vasis Makasha Zamam, when two witnesses falsely say regarding someone that he's liable for something, and then another pair of witnesses come and say, how could you have said that you were with us on that day? Obviously you weren't there, thus proving that the witnesses were false in that unique way. Then they get that same punishment that they attempted to do to the defendant. Now, the Gemara actually will explain, because our Mishnah is not going to be describing actually the pure halacha of Hazama, which is that the witnesses get what they attempted to do. To the contrary, as the Gemara will ask, actually they're going to get something different than what they tried to do. But that's the words of the Mishnah. How do witnesses become Zayman? So says the Mishnah, M'idin anu b'ish plani. Let's say the witnesses say that we testify regarding that person who is a Kayin, Shu ben Gerusha, which they're making him liable for something. They're saying that we saw his mother get divorced before he was born, and she married a Kayin. A Kayin who marries a Gerusha, the child is a Chalal, which is desecrated from the certain sanctity of Kahuna, and therefore he's Pasal, thus creating a deficiency for this defendant. Oy ben chalutza, or they say that his mother was a chalutza, where her brother-in-law had done chalitza to her because her husband died without any children, thus making her into a chalutza, which has the same halacha as a grusha, thus making him a chal. Says the Mishnah, Ein Oymrim, we do not say that if those witnesses end up being proven wrong, that they were liars, they were actually huzam, because another set of witnesses came and said, how could you say that you saw when the mother was divorced at that time and that date when you claim you were there, you with us somewhere else? Now, if let's say those witnesses themselves were Kahanim, we do not say, Yasazeh ben Gerusha ben Chalutza Tachta. We don't say that, oh, the witnesses, now they become B'nai Gerusha. They have that halachic status as a Chalul, as a ben Gerusha ben Chalutza, to fulfill Kasha Zamam, which is whatever you plotted to do to the defendant. The pure halach of Kasha Zamam says you get the same thing. Says the Mishnah, no, we do not say that. Ela like Arbam, rather they get 39, which is called in the category of 40 lashes. And then we'll explain the reason why is that. That's not the general interpretation of Kasha Zamam. They're not getting what they attempted to do to him. They weren't giving him lashes. That says the Mishnah is the halacha in this case that they get lashes and they don't become b'nei gerusha b'chalutza themselves. Similarly, the Mishnah says another case. Me'idin anu b'ish pleni shu chayev legalis. They say we could testify regarding this individual that he's liable for the halacha of going to exile into one of the Ari Miklat, because we saw that, although by mistake, so he's not liable for death penalty, he murdered somebody, killed someone, therefore he's chayev galis. Says the Mishnah, Ein Oymrim Megalas Atachta. We do not say that now that they're Huzim and now they have to get the same punishment that they tried to do to the defendant, that they themselves go into Galus. We do not say that. Ela like Arbam, rather, the Edom Zayman, because of their fact that they were lying and they were Huzim, they get lashes, but they don't go into Galus. Those are the two cases of the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara the obvious question, HaKetzat Ein HaEdom Nasim Zayman Mebayle. What's the Mishnah saying, and how do we make Edom Zayman? To the contrary, the Mishnah sort of said, how is it that we do not make the Edom Zayman? Because we're not fulfilling Kasha Zamam. We're not doing to them as they attempted to do to the defendant. Void, moreover, what exactly was the Tanava Mishnah asking that, and especially the way Taisa explains Gemara's question, that how do, you're saying, how do they become Zayman? What does that mean? Midigtani likaman, from the fact that the Mishnah teaches us later enough Heyamet Aleph, when it says, how do you create the din of Zayman? So the Mishnah there teaches, I'll tell you how you have the halach of Zayman. Avar Amu Lahem, but if let's say the Mezimim said to them, meaning the second pair of witnesses, said to the first pair of witnesses, Heich atem me'idin, how can you testify this testimony? Shaharei bo'is ha'yoyim atem ha'yisim imonu b'makam plani. What do you mean? You with us, that same day that you claim you were there, you were with us somewhere else. Harei elu zayman, says the Mishnah, oh, that's how they become zayman. So even if you're going to say that our Mishnah is not talking about the element of a zamar regarding the punishment, but rather you'd say regarding how do they become Zayman, in other words, in the essence of Hazama. But even that's not being described. That the Mishnah Daf Hey describes. What exactly is our Mishnah referring to when it says how do Eden become Zayman? It's not talking about how they become in the act of Hazama and the mechanics, and neither it's saying regarding the consequences of Eden Zayman, which is Kasha Zayman. Here you're not getting what they attempted to do to the defendant. Says the Gemara, Tana Hasimkai. You're right, our Tana of our Mishnah is going back on the previous Masechta of Sanhedrin, where it was taught at the end of the Masechta, at the end of Perkei L'Hanachnokin, especially regarding the order of the Masechta, that the last Perkei is not HaChelik, but rather Elohim HaNachnokin, which is the last of the four death penalties, which is the conclusion of Masechta Sanhedrin, where there the Mishnah says that there are certain Edom Zayman where their law is changed a little bit different than how Hazama usually is executed. Because the Mishnah there teaches, and this at the end of the Sanhedrin, so our Masechta, which continues that theme, there the Mishnah says, Kol HaZayman Magdimin Lo'isa Misa. All Edom Zayman, they go and they're prefaced to get the same death penalty that they attempted to do to the defendant. In other words, they shouldn't anticipate to get a different death penalty. Rather, they get that same death penalty which the verdict was passed regarding the defendant that they were testifying falsely about. But says the Mishnah over there in Elohim HaNachnokin, Chutz Mizimi Baskoin, except for witnesses that falsely, and then they were later Huzam, regarding a married daughter of a Kohen, Ubayla, and the man that she had relations with, because although her verdict was passed that she's going to get the Misa of Sreifa, which is unique to Abbas Kohen, based on their testimony, there She'in Magdim Eloisa Misa. There the witnesses do not get the same death penalty they attempted to do to the Abbas Kohen. Elul Misa Acheres, rather they get a different death penalty, not Sreifa, but rather they get Chenik strangulation. As the Gemara there teaches in Tzadi Amad Aleph, the Pasuk says, Hitisarf, meaning the Bas Kain, it's an exclusionary term, she gets Sreifa, but Ve'in Bayla Besreifa, but the man who had relations with her, although generally by a Noyif and Noyafes, the adulterer and adulteress, they get the same death penalty. Here, it says she gets Sreifa, but the man who had relations with her does not get Sreifa, rather he gets Chenik, like a regular Ashes Ish, like a regular case of adultery. Now, the Edom Zayman, they get the same death penalty that they attempted to make liable the Baal, the man, and not the Bas Kohen. Because the Pasuk says, Kasha Zamim Lasis La'achim, that you have to give to the Edom Zayman what they had plotted to do to his brother, which teaches us V'loy La'chais, and not to his sister. So when there's a male and female involved, which that's their testimonies on the unit of them having adultery, it's going to be like his death penalty, which is Chenek, and not hers, which is Sreifa. So on that theme, where our Masechta continues on that theme and opens up the Masechta, this Mishnah, and saying that also Ve'yesh Edom Zayman Acherim, there are other Edom Zayman, they are Edom Zayman, they're going to be Huzim, the mechanics of Hazama works on them. But there are those She'ein Oisim Behem Din Hazama Kol Iker, takes it one step further. Although we always know usually Kasha Zamam, but the end of Masechta Sanhedrin talks about that those that don't get exactly Kasha Zamam. Instead of getting the Sreifa they attempted to do, they're going to get Chenek. That our Mishnah continues one step further and said that those that are not going to get at all what they plotted, at least over there by Bas Kain, they get what they plotted to do to the man, but not what to the woman. Here, they're not going to get at all what they plotted to do. Meaning, they're not going to become B'nei Gusha, B'nei Chalutza. They're not going to go to Gullus like they had testified regarding the defendant. Ela Malkus Arbam, rather they're going to get 40, 39 lashes. That is what our Mishnah continues and explains. Ketzad, how do you have witnesses that you're not going to fulfill at all regarding them, the element of Hazama at all? And that's what the Mishnah says. We testify regarding that Kain, that he's not a pure Kain. He's the son of a Gerusha or a son of a Chalutza. That's what the Mishnah says. When we say, how do we have witnesses that become Zayman that are not going to be the punishment as we usually have? We do not say that the witnesses become, even if they're Kohanim and take the place, and that they become Chalolim themselves. Rather, he gets 40 lashes. So that's how we understand the Mishnah and what it's talking about. Well, that has the Gemara. And not merely, where do we know this halacha from? That is the case where here we're not going to do as we usually do Hazama. Why not? Why don't we say they become B'nai Gerusha Mechalutza and that they go to Galus? So regarding the first case of our Mishnah, Amri B'shu Ben Levi, Amri B'shu Ben Lakish, he says, Amakra, the Pasuk says in the Varim, which is the Pasuk regarding Hazama, says, Vasisim Loi Kash Hazama, you do to him like he plotted to do to the defendant which he was lying. Now, when it says you do to him, teaches loy v'loy lazari, you do to him, to the witness himself, and not to his children. Now, if you're going to turn him into a chalal, which is what a ben grusha ben chalutza is, if he's a kohen and now he's a chalal, now you're not only desecrating him, you're also invalidating his children for eternity. Because once a chalal gets married, his children are also chalalim. So that we can't do, because azam has to be just to him and not to his children. So the Gemara says, okay, well then, melisvelu l'didei, v'le lifsu l'zari. Well then, just invalidate him, say he has the status as a chal, and don't invalidate the children. Although generally a chal, his children are chalalim, but say that Allah is saying, in this case, it's only for him, not for his children. And that says the Gemara, no, you can't do that either, because be'inin kashazam lasis. If we're fulfilling kasha zama, which is what you want to say, he wanted to make him a chal, it has to be like he plotted to do. Now here they plotted to invalidate the subject, the defendant, and his children, because if they're turning him into Ben Gerusha, all his future descendants are also going to be chalalim, v'leke. And if we're going to say that now that Edom Zayman, only they become and not their children, well, that's not going to be fulfilling exactly kasha zama lasis. And therefore, since you can't do that, and neither can you do the children too, because that says loy and bolei lazari, therefore we cannot fulfill kasha zama in this case, and therefore, as Gmol later on explained, instead we give him 39 lashes. Another interpretation by Pada Aymer, he says, it's a kavochemer. It's a kavochemer that you're not going to go ahead and make this Edom Zayman into chalalim themselves. Because he says as follows, Umaha mechalil, if regards to a kohen who marries a divorcee, a grusha, where he's mechal his zari, he desecrates his own children, he makes his children into chalal. Einu mischalil, he himself does not become a chal from kahuna, his children do, but he remains as a kosher kohen. So habol lechal v'lechilel, so if regarding Edom Zayman, who wants to be mechal, but he didn't yet do chil, as we're going to explain later on, the halach of Edom Zayman is only if it didn't yet happen. Just the verdict was passed. So he attempted to make someone into chal, but didn't. Ein adin shle yischal. Here's another kavochaymer that they themselves do not become chalalim. If when you do make someone the chal, who makes someone the chal? A father who marries a gerusha, his children become chalalim. He himself does not become a chal. So the Edom Zayman who attempted to make chalalim didn't even, for sure they themselves do not become chalalim, and that's how we're not going to fulfill in this situation, kashazam. On that mask of the Ravina, but Ravina asks on this interpretation of Abapadi. He says, Im king, if that's the case, if you're going to expound this kavochemer that you said regarding Edom Zayman, he says, "Betalta taris Edom Zayman," then you're going to totally void the entire halacha of Edom Zayman. Why? As the Gemara continues to Amud Beis, because I can tell you as follows: Uma hasoikel, then you should make the following kavochemer too. If regarding witnesses who were not huzim, they weren't found to be liars in the unique mechanics of hazama until the defendant was already executed, and only then did they become huzim. Meaning, they were a cycle, they already caused someone to be stoned. The halacha is, einoi niskel, they themselves do not become stoned, they don't get killed. As the Gemara says later on, Afheim Abayz, if the defendant was already killed, then the Edom Zayman, even if they're later subsequently huzam, they're not killed, because the Pasuk tells us, kasha zam, like they plotted to do, v'loi kasha asa, but not if they already did that. Then we don't do hazam. So then, make the following kavochaymer. If a witness caused someone to be stoned, and then he's not stoned, haboliska b'lo yisalkel, so someone that's only attempting to stone someone, but does not have him stoned, meaning that he's huzim before the defendant gets killed, in addition to yisalkel, isn't a kavochemer that he should not be stoned? It's the same kavochemer that we said regarding, that Bapada says regarding the chal, where if someone makes his children chalal, he does not become a chal. So when you only attempted for sure not, well then you can make every time, then the whole hazama is thrown out. Because if the halacha of hazama tells us that if he already stoned the witnesses in their false testimony, already had someone stoned, they don't become stoned. So if we're only attempting for sure not, Ella rather says the Gemara, you're right, that would totally, if we made such a kavochemer, that would throw out the whole halacha of Edom Zayman. Obviously, it disagrees with that kavochemer. Rather, machvarta kedesh nim yakar, it's clear, we have to say, like we answered first, the first answer the Gemara gave, which it says, kashazam, that you have to do, vasisim loy, kashazam, you have to do to him, and not to his children, which is, that's why he cannot become a chal, because if you make the Edom Zayman into chal, it's not a punishment just for him, but rather for his future generations too, and that's the reason why we don't do kashazam, when they say that he's a ben gerusha ben chalutza, rather they get lashes. The next case of the Mishnah was Me'idin on the Beish Plenish Chayiv Galus V'chulu. They say, we testify regarding this person that he killed by mistake, and therefore he's Chayiv to go into Galus. So the halacha is, if they're Huzam, they don't go into Galus instead, which would generally be Kasha Zama. Rather, they get lashes. Ask the Gemara Manan Amila, where do we know this halacha from? How do we know that, why wouldn't you say Kasha Zama, that they go into Galus too? So Amar Shlakesh, he says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, regarding someone who kills by mistake, it says, Hu yanus el achas arm, that he should flee to one of the cities, which was the Ari Mikli, the city of refuge. That's where he goes to save himself from the Goyal Adam, from the relatives of the one who was killed by mistake. Now the Drasha tells us, who is an exclusionary term? He runs. The one who killed by mistake runs to the Ari Miklat, but not the false witnesses of that defendant. If they're found to be Huzim, they do not run to the Ari Miklat, they're not Chayav and Galus. Rather, as we said, they get lashes. B'yechanam, he gives a second interpretation. He says, Kavochaymer. It's a Kavochaymer that the Edom Zayman don't go into Galus. Why? Umahu sha'asa ma'isa b'meizid. If the killer himself, if he would go ahead and do an action which he did kill. Now we're talking about when he does it by mistake, that's what goes into galus. But if he would do it deliberately, premeditated, the halacha is a negaila, he does not go into exile, meaning even at a time when he would not be executed. For example, if let's say he killed deliberately, but without warning. That has to be deliberate and also has to be warning. So when he does it deliberately, then even though he's not going to be killed because there was no warning, he does not go into galus. Galus is only to do by mistake. So hein shaloyasu maisa. So regarding the Edom Zayman, who didn't even do an action, all they did was just words. They came to court and they said something, and it's bemazed, and they testified deliberately. They're obviously plotting over here. They know what they're saying is false. They're doing it to have this guy executed, to make him go into galus. So ein adin shalo yiglu, isn't it a kavochaymer that they themselves should not go into galus for their deliberate act, which wasn't even an action? Meaning, when you see by mazed does not go even when someone deliberately killed someone. It's only by shagging. So here, where they did it deliberately, and they didn't even do an action, for sure, which is less of an evil than an action, for sure they're not going to go into galus. That's Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation for why, when they testify regarding someone's chayav galus, that the Edom Zayman don't go into galus. And that has to gemar to Rabbi Yochanan, but v'hinei senes. To the contrary, that the logic that you're using to go ahead and exempt the Edom Zayman from galus, so ask the Gemara is actually the logic to say why they would be liable for galus. Valer dinu, it's a kavochaymer the other way. Hu sha'asa ma'isa b'meizid loy ligli. Yes, the murderer himself, who when he does it deliberately, he also does an action. So that's a really severe thing. That's why he doesn't go into exile. Why? That's actually a punishment, not a leniency. Ki heichid loy tahavale kapara, so that he's not even deserving of the atonement. Galus could only atone for when someone does something, a murder by mistake. You do an act of murder and premeditate it, you're not even deserving of atonement. But the Edom Zayman, who, although they did it deliberately, but they didn't do an action, maybe they are still deserving for galus. So that they should get atonement. So it's not a kavochaymer. To the contrary, the logic actually goes the other way. Maybe they should go into galus. We should do kasha zamim so that they will get atonement. Contrary, someone who did it by mezid, although he's not going to get executed, but he doesn't get an atonement. Rather, says the Gemara, like we said regarding the first case of the Mishnah, that the second interpretation was not correct. So to hear Machvarta Kedur Rish Lakish, rather, it's clear, like the way Rish Lakish said, that the reason is because it says who? The murderer himself, when he does it by mistake, he runs to the Ari Miklat. But Valei Zayman, the Edom Zayman, although they wanted to make him go into Galus, and therefore they should get the same, it says only that guy himself runs to the Ari Miklat, but the Zayman don't go. That's why they don't get the same thing. Now, relating to the other half of this halacha, so we know that the Edom Zayman do not get galus, they don't become chalolim. But Amar Ula says, as we'll shortly see, he's addressing the other part, so they don't get kashazam, how do we know that they get malchus? Amar Ula, he says, Remez le'edom Zayman at Tarmi 9. What's an allusion that we can find in the Torah for the halacha of Edom Zayman? So ask the Gemara, Remez le'edom Zayman, an allusion to the halacha of Edom Zayman? It's explicit pasuk in Devarim. Vasisim loy kashazam. You should do to him, the false witness, who is Huzim, like he plotted to do to the defendant. Ella rather explains the Gemara, and this is what it's addressing our other half of our halacha. Remez le'ed mezaymin, an allusion for Ed mezaymin in the cases of our Mishnah, where they testified that this person is a ben gerusha, or that he's liable for galus. Whereas we just explained in the Gemara that the pasuk excludes these Edom Zayman from the halachas of Azama, they don't become b'nei gerusha. They don't go into galus. Where do we know, as Ula, shalekin min ha-terminayim? Where do we know that they get lashes? So we know they don't get what they attempted to do, but how do we know, as our Mishnah tells us, that instead of that, they get lashes, which the Gemara later on is going to ask, what do you mean? It's an explicit lav in the Torah of Loisana, you're not allowed to say false testimony regarding someone else when you violate a negative prohibition, there's lashes, but that's what the Gemara's question of Ula is. So says the Gemara, because it says the Pasuk in Devarim. It says, and this is in Devarim, Perek Chafei, Pasuk Aleph, where the Pasuk says that if there's going to be a dispute between people, so they should bring it to the court, and they're going to judge. And what's the court going to judge? So the Pasuk says, Vitzdiku es a tzaddik, so they'll hold that the verdict, the righteousness for the righteous, meaning they'll vindicate the righteous. Vishu es a rasha, and they'll incriminate the wicked person. Continues the next Pasuk, Vahaya im bin hakeis rasha. Now if it's going to be that the wicked person is going to be liable for lashes, so that's what the Pasuk there continues. So the judge makes him bend over, and is going to give him lashes according to his wickedness, according to the count, which are the 39 lashes. So ask the Gemara, how do we understand the connection of these two psukim? Mishum betzdiku es a tzaddik v'rishu es a rasha, because the court is justifying the righteous and incriminating the wicked, so therefore v'hoye im ben hakeis a rasha, therefore the wicked is going to get lashes? How do we understand this? In other words, if we would translate the pasuk as it sounds like the literal translation, that when it says v'tzdiku, that they will justify, and v'rishu, that they will incriminate, that's talking about the judges, and when it says that they'll justify the tzaddik and they'll incriminate the rasha, it's talking about by the litigants, now, why does it have to say v'tzdiku es a tzaddik v'rishu es a rasha? Let it just say that if there's going to be a dispute between people, they'll bring their case for judgment, and the judges will judge. And then it should say v'hoyim ben hakeis a rasha. And then if there's a wicked person, he's liable for lashes. Why does it mention the tzidkis of the tzaddik? Why do you have to say, and they'll vindicate the righteous person? What? Any time that the Bezdin, the court, vindicates the one that's not guilty, and they incriminate the liable one, always the Pasuk continues, there's going to be lashes? That the Pasuk has to tell us that the halach of lashes is by v'hitztuku and v'hirshiu? Ella rather explains the Gemara, you have to say that the Pasuk is not as simply understood. It's not talking about the judges, it's actually talking about the witnesses. We're talking about Edim, we're talking about that there were false witnesses that originally, before the context of the Pasuk, Shehershiu es tzaddik, that they actually incriminated the one that really should be vindicated. Because they're lying. The also Edim Achrin, and now the Pasuk is now starting, now another set of witnesses come, and they're Mazim, the first set of witnesses. V'tzdiku es, and now they justify the defendant, that he's really Hatzadik Demikara, who was originally the righteous one from the beginning. It's just that he was falsely accused by false witnesses. Veshavinu Lahani Risham, and then the second pair of witnesses makes the first pair of witnesses wicked. So if one translates the Pasuk, Vitztiku as a tzaddik, this second pair of witnesses justifies the original righteous person. Vishu as a Rosh, and they incriminate the real wicked people, who is the first set of witnesses. That's where the next Pasuk continues, Vahoye im bin hakeis a Rosh, that if it's going to be that if this hazama is something that will require that the first pair of witnesses should get lashes, why? Because you cannot fulfill regarding this first pair of witnesses the halach of hazama. When do you have that? That as we just explained in the Gemara before in the Amud Aleph, that you have by when the witnesses had testified that this defendant is a ben gerusha or chayav megalus, which we said that then you cannot give them what they attempted to do. That's what the Pasuk says, v'pilu ha-shevet v'iko, so then the judge goes and throws them down and gives lashes to those Edim Zaymin in that situation where the second pair of witnesses were matzdik, the right person, and Marshir, the wicked Edim Zaymin. That's where we see an allusion to the halacha that the Edim Zaymin will get lashes, as it says, v'hoyim min ha-kaisa rasha. But now the Gemara asks on this whole question and answer of Ula, but typically Milaisana, what's the whole question? We have to find this illusion that these Edim Zaymin that don't get Kashazam, that they get lashes from Vahayim in Bin HaKaisa Rasha. What do you mean? Of course it gets lashes from Leisana V'Re'echa Et Shaker by the warning in the Torah of saying false testimony. Because any negative prohibition, its punishment is lashes. Unless if the Torah specifies to you a different punishment, here where you can't give him the punishment that's written regarding Edim Zaymin, so of course you get lashes. Why do we need Vahim Min HaKaisa Rasha? So the Gemara, no, Mishum Dehavalav Sheim by Maisa. Although it's a negative prohibition of saying false testimony, but it's a negative prohibition that there's no action. Speech is not considered doing something. V'chalav Sheim by Maisa, and like of any negative prohibition that's violated without an action, one does not get lashes, as the Gemara later on, the Fit Gimel and Beis will explain. And therefore, when the Edim Zaymin in these cases are not going to get from Leisana, rather it's from Vahayim Min HaKaisa Rasha. Now, continuing on this halacha of our Mishnah, Tarban, learn the Braisa. Dalad Varm Nemer Be'edim Zayman. There are four unique exceptions that are said regarding halacha of Edim Zayman, where we're not going to go ahead and apply the Kasha Zaman punishment to the Edim Zayman. First of all, Einasn Begerusha Mechalutza, as we said in our Mishnah, although they said that he's a Begerusha, they themselves do not become, even if they're Kahanim. The Ein Goyin Lari Mikla, as the second halacha of our Mishnah, although they said that he's liable for Galus, they do not go into exile into the cities of refuge. Now the Braisa adds on cases. The Ein Meshalman Es HaKeifer, the Eid Mzaymin, if they testified regarding somebody that the ox is a Shahamud, is an ox that gored three times that killed a person, and then it's turned out that they were lying and they were Huzim, although they were originally going to make the owner of that animal liable for kaifer, which is atonement money, as the pasuk says in Shemayis Chavalef, im kaifer yushaslav, he has to pay the value of a life which was killed over in this situation. They themselves in the huzim, they do not pay that kaifer. And the fourth halach is v'einim karim be'ebed ivri. They, if let's say they testified regarding this defendant that he stole money and he doesn't have money to pay, the halach is that then the verdict is passed that he has to be sold as a slave to pay for the theft that he took. As it says in the pasuk, "V'nimkim b'gnevasa," he's sold for his theft. Here, when they're huzam, they are not sold as a Jewish slave, which would be the same thing that they attempted to do to the defendant. Now, Meshumer b'kiva, in the name of b'kiva, they said a fifth exception is af ein meshalman apeatzman. They also do not pay based on their own testimony. If let's say they were huzam in a certain court, but the litigant didn't have a chance to prosecute them for their hazama until they fled, and they came to a different court, and they admitted that they were huzim in another court, there they're not going to be liable for the hazama, as the Gemara later on is going to explain the reason for that. So explains the Gemara these five halachas. Ein nasi ben gerusha ben chalutza, kedamar, this that did not become ben gerusha ben chalutza, is a, as we explained, basisim loy kash hazamim, only to him and not to his aray, making themselves into chalolim, which they attempted to defend it, would be for their children, and that is not appropriate for kash hazam. So to ve'en goyin lor mikla is kedamar, this that they do not go into exile, into the city of refuge, like we said, because it says, hu yonis, only the guy who kills by mistake goes to the city of refuge, not to Edim Zayman. So that's how we know that halach. The third one that said ve'im shaman es akayfer, that the Edim Zayman do not pay the atonement money which they attempted to make to this person who they said that his Shar Hamud killed a person. What's the reason why Kashazam doesn't say that they do that too? Ksavri kufr kapar, because the Tana of this Braisa held that the atonement money is an atonement for this guy who his ox had killed a person. Now the Hani la b'nei kapar, but the Edim Zayman, they're not people that are required to pay atonement money because their ox didn't kill a person. You could say what they attempted to do, but that would only be something that's a monetary obligation. Here, it's an atonement element. It's like saying vidui. They didn't do that. It's a monetary obligation or a liability for something that they would be obligated. An atonement is only if you need an atonement, where this guy was negligent with his ox. Here, they didn't do anything that requires atonement, therefore they don't pay that kufr money. Now, ask the Gemara, Man Tana Kofar Kapar. Who is the Tana of this Braisa that holds that the Kofar obligation is atonement and not a monetary obligation? Where generally, if someone, a person is killed, there's a monetary financial loss here in his death. There, this Tana is saying that no, it's not a monetary obligation. That's why Edim Zayman don't pay it. Rather, it's an atonement element. Rav Chisdi says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishe B'yechim and Bereke. It's Rabbi Shmuel, who is the son of B'yechim and the son of Bereke, who holds that this Kofar Kapar. Sound like we learn the Braisa, the Pasuk in Shemai says, regarding someone who is ox, Shar Hamud, the deliberate ox who killed already three times, kills a person, says in Shemai's, Benasin Pidyan Navshay. So the owner of that ox has to give the redemption of his soul. Who is his soul? Says the Talmud Kama, Demei Nizik. The value of the one who is killed, his soul, which was killed, to the owner of the ox has to give to his inheritors the value of his soul. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishe B'yechim B'rekam, he says, no. He has to give the redemption of his soul, Demei Mazik. It's talking about the value of the damager, the owner of the ox. His value has to be given to the inheritors of the one who of the victim who was killed. Says the Gemara, says Rav Chisda, my lab ha-kemifugi. So what's the machlekes tanakama and the b'shmol b'nei shemir b'mreka if it's Demei Nizik or Demei Mazik? Seemingly, what we're explaining. Demar sabar kofer m'mayna. The tanakama held that kofer is a monetary obligation, where here the victim's body was killed, and therefore the monetary value of how much a person would be, let's say, sold as a slave in the marketplace, that is a loss to the family. That value of the nizik has to be paid to the inheritors, the value of that victim's worth. Umasa, but kufr kapar, but Yishmol ben Shmuel Mreka holds that no, the kufr is atonement money, meaning it's an atonement for the owner of the ox, who he's really liable in a death from the hands of heaven because he caused someone else's death. Therefore, he has to give his own monetary value to the victim's family as an atonement. So therefore, seemingly, the Tana of our Braisa is like Shmuel ben Shmuel Mreka, who holds kufr kapar, because again, if he held kufr as a minor, then the Edom Zayman would be obligated. That number of Papa, he says, Loi, no. The Kuliyama Kufr Kapar, we could say that everyone holds that the Kaifer obligation is an atonement. Now, so therefore, the Tana of the Braisa could be like everyone. Bahacha Bakim, what they're disagreeing about is not as Kufr Mamayin or Kufr Kapara, but rather Mar Savar Ben Nizik Shemina. The Tana Kama holds that, yeah, it's for atonement. So if it's for atonement, why give me the value of the victim? It should be the atonement of the one who's liable, who did something wrong. He says, no, that is the atonement. When he gives the value of the nizik, that's going to be the atonement for the mazik, which Gemara later on is going to explain why is that. Why don't you just give the value of the mazik as umar sav the mazik shaminan? Rabbi Shmuel ben Echash b'Shem Breker holds that, no, the atonement is this soul is guilty. He has to give a monetary pidyon, a monetary, something that neutralizes that sin. It's from the mazik himself. So the Gemara actually asks us, "My time made Rabbanan. What's the reason of Rabbanan?" In other words, Rishmol, we understand his reasoning because kufr is kapara. So he gives the value of himself. But why, according to Rabbanan, do you give the domain nizik according to what the Gemara is answering that even they hold kufr kapara? Says the Gemara, because nemer hashasa lamata. It says the terminology of hashasa of placing on the later on, meaning by kufr, which it says im kufr yushas love if the kaifer obligation is going to be placed on the owner of the shor hamazik. V'nema hashasa lamala. It also is the same terminology of hashasa, of placing earlier on in the parasha over there by someone that injures a pregnant woman. As the pasuk says, kasher yasas alav bala isha, like the owner, like the husband of the woman is going to place on the perpetrator that is going to have to pay the monetary value of the lost fetus. Now, mala halam bin anizik, just like over there by someone who injures the pregnant woman, that what is the hashasa, what is the obligation of payment, is the payment of the value of the fetuses that were injured and that caused a miscarriage, a loss, it's in the victim that's the monetary payment. Afkam ben nizik. So therefore, Matt Gzeirah Shava says the Tanna Kamma, that also teaches us that here it's also regarding the victim when it's saying that you have to give pidyon nafshai, whose pidyon we're talking about, we're talking the pidyon of the nizik. So though it's kufr kapari, it's an atonement, but the Torah is telling us explicitly that it's the atonement coming through the value of the victim. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel, he says, no, benosn pidyon nafshiksim. The Torah says, he is giving, who's giving? The owner of the shor hamuad is going to give the redemption of his soul, meaning that he gives the kaifer, the atonement money of the mazik himself. But Rabbanan, they would tell you that in, yes, it's not a contradiction, pidyon nafshiksim. It says that it's going to be redemption for his own soul, because as we're explaining, even the Tanna Kamma agrees kufr kapara. Miu kishamina, but what they're learning out from the comparison of hashasa is, but when we evaluate what it should be, the redemption money of the mazik's own soul, is b'dinizik shaminan, that we evaluate in the value of the victim, and that's going to be, for the mazik, a pidyon for his own nefesh. Now, the Gemara continues, the fourth item that we said that's unique, that's going to be exclusion for the general halach of kasha zamam, is ve'enim karm be'ebed ivri, they're not sold as a Jewish slave when they tried to get the defendant guilty for stealing and not having money and being sold to Eben Ivri. When they're huzam, they don't get sold as Eben Ivri. So the Gemara says that Savar of Amnun Lameim, Rav Amnun thought to say an explanation of this halacha, that Hanamili, when did we say that the Edom Zayman do not get sold as Eben Ivri themselves, is Hecha de Islei Lididei, is where the defendant, who they claimed had stole money, that defendant had money to pay the value of what they were claiming he stole, had the Edom Zayman not been huzam. Now, however, the Edom Zayman themselves don't have what to pay. That's where the halacha of the Braisa is teaching us, demigu de ihulein is dabin, that since the defendant himself, that if the Edom Zayman had not been huzam, he would not have been sold, because he would have just paid what they claimed he was guilty of stealing. So inunami, so even the Edom Zayman themselves, even though they don't have money, when they themselves are huzam, loy mizdabnu, they're not going to be sold as Eved Ivri, because they never attempted to make the defendant be sold, because they knew he had money and he would have just paid what they were claiming he was guilty from and never been sold as Eved Ivri anyway. Aval hecha de les ledidei, but says Rav Amnuna, but when the defendant did not have any money, Avagav the isle lehu ledidhu. Even if the Edom Zemin have money, mizdamnu they get sold. Because what did they attempt to do to him? They attempted to have him sold because they knew he didn't have money. And if he's guilty of stealing, he's going to be sold to the Ivri, even though they have. So what they were trying to say, that he's chayv for money that he stole, they could pay it up? They can't. They have to get sold as the Ivri because that's what they attempted to do, the defendant. On that, Amalei Rava asks, but Velemrele, the Gemara asks, the Gisoyas actually take out Amalei Rava, the Gemara asks, Velemrele, what do you mean? They should tell him, to the defendant, E ant havaloch, had you had money, mi have a mizdavnis, would you be sold? We also should not be sold, because as Mefarshim explained, it's the entirety of the verdict. Now, although now that he doesn't have money, he's going to get sold, but that's not intrinsic to their testimony. Their testimony is only regarding the theft. Now that he doesn't have money, yeah, so he'll be sold as an Emet Ivri, but that's not what they're incriminating him for. Had he had money, obviously, unrelated to their testimony, he would not have been sold, and therefore, here, they're also not going to be sold. So Ella rather says the Gemara, Savar Avnun Lamemar, Avnun thought to say, you're right, that rather you have to qualify the halacha as follows. Hana milehecha de islay, that when did we say this halacha that the Edom Zemin do not get sold as Emet Ivri? That's where, that there is money, oyle de day, oyle de two. Either the defendant has money, or the Edom Zemin have money, where either way, they could say, look, if you have money, we never tried incriminating you, so we're not going to get sold as an Eved Ivri. Or even when he didn't have money, but if they themselves have money, so also then they can pay up, and therefore they'll pay up what they tried to incriminate him, but they're not going to get sold. Aval hecha de les lay. But if there is no money, loy le dedei, but loy le dedhu, neither the defendant had money, and neither Edom Zemin have money, then says Rav Nuna, Mizdavni, then Rav Nuna thought to say that then they're going to get sold as an Eved Ivri, because that clearly was part of the testimony and part of the consequence of Kasha Zamam to make them be sold as Eved Ivri, and therefore they themselves get sold as Eved Ivri. On that, Amalei Rava, Rava disagreed. He says, no, the Pasuk says, V'nimka b'gnevasei Amrachman. The Pasuk in Shema says that he gets sold for his theft, which teaches the exclusionary term, b'gnevasei, when does he get sold as an Eved Ivri, is only for his theft, v'lei b'zamamai, and not for his attempted false testimony of Azamah. So it's an exclusionary term, which the halacha of the Braisa is in all cases, no matter if there's money, no money for him or for them, all situations, Edom Zemin are not sold as an Eved Ivri, it's excluded explicitly from the Torah. Now the fifth item mentioned in the Braisa was Meshum Rebbe Kiva, Amr B'chulu, and then Rebbe Kiva, they said that the Edom Zemin themselves, if they were guilty and they were about to be prosecuted for being Edom Zemin in one court, and they run to another court, and they themselves admit over there, then what they're moedin, that they're guilty for the halach of Edom Zayman, will actually exempt them from the liability of Hazama being done to them. So the Gemara says, my time to Rebbe Kiva, what's the reason Rebbe Kiva? Why, if they're guilty of Hazama and they run away and they admit another court, would that exempt them from the prosecution of Kasha Zama? So it explains the Gemara, Ksavar Kanasahu. Rebbe Kiva held that the halacha of the Torah of Hazama is a penalty. It's not an actual liability. It's something that the Torah penalizes someone. The knas ein mishalma piatzma, and the halacha is that a knas, a penalty, a person cannot pay based on his own admission, as we find by halacha of kefil, which is also a penalty. If someone steals something from someone and then he sells it, so although halacha makes him liable for a double payment, but why? He only stole principal. Why is he paying double? That's a penalty. The pasuk tells us over the asher shi nelekim, which the judges will hold them guilty, which teaches us the gemara says about bekamis amachdal amabeid, which excludes if he makes himself guilty. If he admits, if he incriminates himself, he's actually exempt from that liability by kefil. And so to over here in the halach of hazama, since they're admitting before the court has a chance to incriminate them for the hazama, they run somewhere else and they admit it. There, since they're coming on their own, and since it's a knas, they can't pay, and once they admit already, it's too late, because it's already out there in the open, and then they're going to actually exempt themselves from Hazama. And Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Teda, you should know, like Rabbi Kiva is saying, that the halach of Hazama is a knas, is a penalty, and not an actual liability for what they did, Shahari, because take witnesses who are testifying that someone's liable for capital punishment. Were loyos or maisa, they didn't do anything, they didn't kill someone yet. No one was killed based on what they said. As we said, actually, if they had the person killed, actually Hazama doesn't apply, it only applies what they attempted to do. And yet, v'neragun u'mishalman, yet they get killed and they pay. So obviously you see that the halacha is not for actually what they did. It's not a mumminess, it's not an actual monetary obligation. They didn't do anything to the guy yet. And rather, it's a knas to penalize those who are saying false testimony. And therefore, if a guy is moida al piatzmai, where they run to another court, they're going to be exempt. Amar Rav Nachman, he says, Teda, you should know this halacha of Rabbi Akiva that it's a knas. Shahari mumin biyad bayil mshalim, because there's money in the hands of the owner, which they wanted to incriminate him and say that he's liable to pay. But he didn't pay it yet, because again, if it was done, it was already done. It was kasher asa, it's only kasher zam like they plotted, and yet still they pay. So you see that it's a knas. So the Gemara, as we get into Rav Gimel Menav, asks, my niu, what is Rav Nachman meaning when he says that the money is still in the hands of the owners? What is he saying? Meaning that he didn't yet pay. Meaning that no action was done yet. The verdict was passed, but no action was yet done. So asking more behind the Rabbah, well, that's the same exact logic as Rabbah, where he said that the guy wasn't killed yet, and therefore must be knas. So therefore, what exactly is Rav Nachman adding on more than Rabbah? So it's like, yeah, I'd rather say v'chein on Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, same idea. Rabbi is talking about din nefashis, and Rav Nachman is talking about din mamonis. But yeah, it's the same logic where nothing was yet done. The guy wasn't executed. The guy didn't have to pay money yet, and still the halach of Eidim Zayman kash dam would apply. Obviously, that prosecution of the Eidim Zayman is a knas, is a penalty, and not an actual monetary obligation that's paid up for. And that's why the fifth halacha of the Braisa of Rabbi Akiva is that if they're moida al pei atzman, they're going to be exempt, because someone is moida on a knas by himself, that actually exempts them from that liability.